First Corinthians chapter 11. From verses 23 to the last verse 24. Amen. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should be not judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. May be seated. I'll try not to be in full throttle so that we won't be carried away. Alright. For the sake of those that have never partaken communion, I would make sure you know certain things. The first thing that every believer has got to know, that this is called the Lord's Supper. Amen. Many of the denominations where we've been, they fear, or rather they take it in the morning. Some take it in the afternoon. So the very essence of the meaning goes away. Because you don't have supper in the morning. Neither do we have supper in the afternoon. But you have supper in the evening. This is now evening time. We are able to partake of communion. Amen. So already you can see that those who take it in the morning are out of scripture. Amen. And some of the denominations, they fear the word wine. So they don't want to come closer to it. They don't want to come closer to it when it comes to communion. But when they go back home, after church, they drink beer. When they visit the rurals, they drink beer. When they're pouring libations, they'll be drinking with the rest of the family. But when they go to church, they avoid wine. Then they take mazowe, raspberry, and then they dilute and make sure people will drink that. Because it looks like blood. So that one is out. Amen. Some even use my heel. So those ones are totally out. Amen. Because the Bible says wine. Amen. And wine is wine. There's no two descriptions about it. Amen. And many times people would like to define what wine is. When Jesus turned water into wine. So because it's in the New Testament, people try to say, no, this particular wine was not fermented yet. So if it was not fermented, it's grape juice. And so, if it's not fermented, it's grape juice. So Jesus did not turn the water into grape juice. He turned it into wine. Wine is after it is fermented. There's no two ways about that description. Amen. So wine is wine. It's intoxicating. Amen. Oh yeah, it has got alcohol. This is why it is wine. Is that right? And Paul is very careful when he writes in the scripture. Amen. He speaks about elderly women teaching the younger women. Paul says they must be grave and temperate. They don't take too much wine. Is this what the scripture says? Amen. And the reason why Paul says that is because they take one communion time. That is little wine. Understand? So you don't skirt around it. It's exactly what it means. Amen. And many churches, sometimes even in the message, amen, they don't want to take the intoxicating wine. They look around for altar wine. You can easily find it in the shops, in the supermarket. Amen. Because there's no alcohol in there. So that people take wine without alcohol. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says wine. Amen. So if it is wine, it's wine. And we take that wine only on communion. After communion, you don't take wine again. You don't buy wine from the from those other liquor shops and take it home and say, I'm finishing up what I didn't finish at church. If you try to do that, you are sinning before God. Because there's no space for drunkards in heaven. Amen. There's no way you can measure whether you are off this other side of drunkenness or this other side of drunkenness. Amen. You don't even drink it Christmas time. Is that right? You don't drink it when you visit your friends at home. You don't take it as a social drink. Amen. So it's wine, it's wine. Amen. We use the wine that the Jews use for their own festivals. So that is the type of wine we use. It's called kosher wine. Amen. So we use kosher wine for communion. Is that right? And it does us good because we know at least we are scriptural. Amen. And some churches, they take bread from Lobel's or from other bakeries. And then they cut it nicely into some very good cubes with a sharp knife that Nikki was talking about. And make some nice cubes so that when people take, you know, they see it's beautiful. Amen.
Amen.
But if they do that, whether white or brown, as long as it's coming from the bakery, it's not right. That's not the bread he's talking about. It's unleavened bread. Amen. It's unleavened bread. There are some shops that sell some of these little wafers. And they call it communion bread. So some churches go and buy that wafer. And then they bring it to church for communion. We don't even use that. It's not right. We don't know who did it and why. Amen. But we make the bread ourselves. Amen. Like the bread we're going to take tonight, my wife did it. Amen. And we trust she's a Christian. Is that right? And this is why we'd like the bread made in that way. Amen. In Branham Tabernacle and some of the places, they make their own wine. Amen. So, because the grapes are they're everywhere, so that they can make the wine. But sometimes, in our case, we have our original grapes around. It's just maybe about February. And those are the other grapes. But in many other countries, grapes are all over the place. Amen. So they're able to take that when they're ready to make, to have communion. They have the time limit. Then they can have it. Is that right? And during the time of Brother Branham, it was Sister Hedge Wright that was doing it. Was she a believer? We all believe that. Amen. So, this is what the elements are all about. We use plain flour. Amen. Not self-raising. All the feasts in the Bible, they were using unleavened bread. So we also use unleavened bread. Amen. And when we partake of communion, we don't use a knife to cut the bread. Because the Bible says Jesus took the bread and he broke it.
Amen.
Amen. So there was no instrument that was used to break it. Inasmuch as his body was up on the cross of Calvary, he died there for us. Before the soldiers came to break the knees. Amen. He was already dead. Is that right? So there was no instrument that was used for the death of Jesus Christ. Even the soldier, when he came with the sword, Jesus was already gone. So nobody can say he died because of the sword. No, the soldier saying, we cut off the legs. Because what would happen, it was on a Friday, and before it is Sabbath time, if the person that is being crucified is taking long to die, because the feet are sitting on some place, they have to push upwards to have a breath. So if it takes long for them before they die, the soldiers will cut off the legs from the knee, so that you just keep hanging until you die. You won't be able to have time to push yourself up for a breath. Is that right? But the Bible says in the book of Psalms, no bone was broken. It was talking about Jesus Christ. So when the soldiers came to break, he was already gone. Amen. But grief and pain, because of our sin, is what killed him. Is that right? So you don't use any instrument for the bread. Amen. We break it with our hands. Amen. Is that right? So it has to be scripture. And when we finish communion, if our bread remains, we don't keep it until the morning. It's either we burn it. Amen. Or we ask the brothers to be free to come and take some of the bread and eat. There's nothing wrong if you take more than two or three servings. Is that right? As long as it must not continue until the following day. Amen. Is that right, brother, sister? Amen. Communion is one of the three ordinances that we are supposed to do as believers. Three of them. Amen. Meaning things that we actually do. Amen. The first one is when you become a believer, you go to the water for baptism. It's an outward sign. Amen. That I've died with Jesus Christ, I got buried with him, I rose with him. Amen. Although we know that your faith in the Lord, you already believe it spiritually, that you died and buried with him and rose again because of the spirit of the resurrection that is dwelling in you. Is that right? But Jesus Christ commands the church to do it physically. This is why he himself had to be baptized in water in the River Jordan. Amen. With John the Baptist. Amen. But John said, you must baptize me. But Jesus Christ, no. Amen. He says no. But you have to baptize him. He says, we must fulfill all righteousness. Is that right? It means two things. Amen. Number one, he, Jesus Christ, as a lamb, was supposed to be washed before the crucifixion 3.5 years later. Is that right? Yes. So he had to be washed because the sacrifice must be washed before it is sacrificed. Amen. So that part was supposed to be fulfilled. Not Jesus baptizing John. Because John was not the sacrifice. John had said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John was not the Lamb. But Jesus, the Lamb of God. Is that right? And the next thing is the word goes to the prophet. Not the other way. The prophet does not go to the word, but it is the word that goes to the prophet. Amen.
Amen.
So John the Baptist was a prophet, and Jesus Christ was the word. Is that right? So it had to work out that way to fulfill righteousness. Amen. So John the Baptist had to baptize Jesus Christ. It had to be according to the word of God. And do you also realize many of the churches around us, they bring water in a basin and push a finger in the water and draw a cross on the forehead. And some dip their full hand in the water in the basin and just sprinkle on the face. It doesn't make sense. Because the word baptize itself is from a Greek word baptizo. Amen. This was taken from the iron smith. When they put the iron in the fire and they beat it to shape it the way they want, they won't just throw it on there. For them to make sure the iron is hardened, they baptize it in water. They immerse it in water. Then it strengthens itself. So that is where the word baptizo came from. Amen. So after he hits you with the word of God, he must throw you in the water. He must baptize you in water. Amen. And they don't do it several times, they do it once. So this is why we don't sprinkle. Why should Jesus go into the Jordan River to be sprinkled? Does it make sense? There are ways deep in water and then draw a cross on the forehead with plenty of water around it. Do you see, it doesn't make sense? But baptism, he was immersed in water, and that is what we do. Now that is the first ordinance, and it's immersion once in the name of Jesus Christ, not three times. Amen.
Amen.
For the Father, for the Son, and for the Holy Ghost. The other time we say they fear that if they do it once for the Lord Jesus Christ, then the fear that the Father is going to be angry. So they don't know these things. Amen.
Amen.
So it has to be according to the word, and that is the first ordinance. The next ordinance, which is the second one, amen, is communion. We partake of real bread and drink the real wine. Is that right? Which represents the word and the spirit. Because that is what we live by. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we take real bread and we take real wine. Is that right? Although Spiritually, we take the word of God into our life. And we get baptized and live by the Spirit of God. But still, we are supposed to show it naturally. So we come to the table and partake of that bread and drink of that wine. To show to the rest of the world, I'm living by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. And I'm living by His Spirit. And this is what we are doing.
Those are to be saved.
Is that right?
Amen.
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 And as soon as we finish, the next thing is feet washing, which is the third ordinance. Jesus Christ did it. Amen. And we've got to do the same. We wash one another's feet. Now, that part of scripture does not even exist in many denominations. But we do it because it is the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, before I read a few of the quotes that I have, I want to say
that
when Jesus Christ was getting baptized in water, amen, then a dove was seen coming out of heaven. Amen. And a voice also came. This is my beloved Son, inside, in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. Meaning, He is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the prophet tells us, inasmuch as that happened for Jesus Christ, because it's a baptism with the promise of the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
Amen.
How many of you remember Paul asking the believers in Ephesus, have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. Then he says, unto what then were you baptized? The reason why he was asking like that is because the kind of baptism you had determines whether you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Is that right? If it is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, no baptism of the Holy Ghost. If it is sprinkling or drawing, no Holy Ghost. Spirit, yes, you might have, but not the Holy Ghost. This is why he was asking, unto what then were you baptized? Because your kind of baptism determines the kind of spirit you're going to have. Is that right? Amen.
Amen.
So, Peter told the people, repent ye therefore, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Amen.
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you're baptized right, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Is that right?
Amen.
So it's a baptism with a gift of the Holy Ghost. So after water baptism, you must receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that a promise?
Yeah.
If it is a promise, it's not what you say. It is what He said. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, remember you are a candidate of the Holy Ghost. You must receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You got to claim it. And God has got to make sure He fulfills His word. Because you die on
path,
He must also do His
word.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus Christ in water had the symbol of the Holy Ghost. How is it right there? Amen. And the prophet says, if you do any of the ordinances, God is duty bound to fulfill His word for your life. You can even receive the Holy Ghost in water. Even before you walk out of the water, you can even receive the Holy Ghost right there.
Amen.
If you do it, you can do it.
He doesn't tell you how many minutes after baptism.
He's
coming even right there in the water. Is that right?
Amen.
And tonight is not baptism. And I know of one church where when you're having baptism in water, the people came out of the water drunk, already of the Holy Ghost. You cannot doubt that. Because it's scripture. Is that right? And if you come to the table here for communion, and you are very sincere, is that right? You get what I'm saying? You are sincere in your heart, and you come to the table for communion. If you are sick and you are praying in your heart, Lord, please help me. Before you sit down, or before you walk out of this building, God is going to be. Whatever situation you have, if you believe that God can touch and can do something,
Amen.
God is going to do it. There's a promise that goes together with
him.
Or if you're praying for a lost one, Amen. And you come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm partaking of communion and doing this altar, I've got a need. I've got a need. Amen. Amen. And God is going to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. That proves that it is true. God can heal you. God can do something. What we need to know is somebody that is empty. And everything is going to work right. I'm going to read a few calls. Amen. And I'm going to go into the question. 1955. The wrong preacher message. Melchizedek, the great prince, the king. Paragraph 56. The prophet says, notice. And when he returned, Melchizedek met him. Who was this Melchizedek? And notice the first thing. Now, Melchizedek did not offer him any money. Melchizedek only offered him bread and wine. Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High, the King of
Jerusalem.
It was then called
Salem.
Amen. He is a prudent. That's one of the Bible dictionaries. So, it's called. I thought if it would be questioned afterwards, I could prove it that Jerusalem was first
Salem.
Amen.
Amen.
He spells Jerusalem. You see?
Salem.
Amen.
Amen.
So it was first called Hiram. Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
That's right.
This was
Which ones? Which once was a Gentile possession.
Well,
I hope you get this now. Amen. Jerusalem was first in Gentile possession. And the King of Jerusalem,
Jerusalem,
which was meaning the King of Peace, King of Righteousness, met Abraham as he returned and gave him the communion. Bread and wine. Thousands of years. Or hundreds of years before bread and wine was ever an ordinance in the church. And he was a king of
Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen.
So you see, he preached that message twice. Amen.
Amen.
So now we know. After the opening of the service, he went even much further than what he had done in 55. Is that right?
Amen.
If
In 54, he preached the seven church ages. But he took one sermon only.
Amen.
Amen. But just before the opening of the seventh
seal,
he took a whole series. So that he might bring everything to the open. Amen. And the message in 63, the testimony of a true witness, 63.
So
61. Amen. The testimony of a true
witness.
Amen.
Amen.
And he says here on 260. Every person in here could be healed right now. Amen. The power of God come over them. Heal everyone. The faith. That real faith. Not that hope so. Not that do so. But that self-same God that spoke the word fall upon these people is prayer. Fill them with faith. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. He said that in the community of
blessing.
Fill them and make them witnesses. Lord, that on this corner can be a witness to you. A witness that you live. A true witness. Tonight we're coming to the communion table. To take the particles, little parcels, that represent the body of our Lord Jesus, and to drink His blood. God cleanse our sinful hearts. I cry for myself in this church. We are weak, Lord. We are not worthy. We are a church that professes. And we haven't exercised the things that we have claimed. We haven't let the Holy Spirit make us over in full. Take us in full. We are sinful. By that we mean, Lord, we are doubting. We are afraid. Oh, make us ashamed of our sinful and fill us with the witness of the Holy Ghost. We can have the Spirit of God so dealing among us here till hundreds will sit under the power of God, trembling with all their
mind
and affections of the things of the world. And what we own, what we possess, Lord, the disciples sought nothing of that. They sold all they had and laid them at the feet of the apostles to feed the food. God sent the Holy Ghost in that manner. But we do not think of the things that we own. The comforts that you have given us. We are afraid to be a little afflicted. We are afraid we are going to be put out. Or we are going to miss a little sleep. Or we are going to miss a meal somewhere.
Amen.
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 So give us time. I must go to the next call. Amen. Question and answers.
1959.
Paragraph 56. See, it's a communion. I do realize and do agree that the body of the law, the living word, is Christ Himself. But these are symbols. Just like baptism and foot washing. and other ordinances of the
church.
But communion is absolutely essential for the bread.
Now, you know,
bread and wine.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read from the message. Communion. 1962. Now, let me, paragraph 121. Let me close in saying this one word now. Before we go to the communion table, the blood and the body of the Lord, mixing with faith. That's the blood and the body. That's the spirit and the word mixed with faith equals eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Amen. And I will raise him up at the last day. There you are. What is it? The communion of the Lord. The word and the spirit. This life is in the blood. The word and the spirit equals eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
By faith in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I believe, brother, sister, it will do us a lot of good when we become part of what the Lord wants, and to be partakers of communion. Amen.
Amen.
We want to get ready now to partake of communion. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read another scripture
about
faith worship. Because what we would like to do, as soon as we finish partaking of bread and wine, you maybe go back and take your seat a little while and just pray and meditate on the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And then as soon as you are done, you walk outside and wash your feet. Brothers will wash their feet inside. And sisters will use this other door and
they'll
wash one another's feet. Amen.
Amen.
So this is how that my trust now is. But please listen.
I stay inside.
We all don't want to go out.
Tesa, I should not put up hands.
We are going to ask the demon.
Shakumira matikon.
To usher you out.
Tuwako, ubatira iba mwenye mshimbuda. Wanenga wata wazo wakudu.
Most of the time.
Wutika jinji.
When brethren feel that when they all go out.
Ama tesa, patikin za hapa, hands up.
It's a natural tendency. That people want to talk about that other thing and this other thing, even asking for credit. So we want to make sure you all don't go out, because sometimes
we'll
be having a very long queue meandering outside, but we would like
to consider
you out. We see that the queue is getting shorter.
They will
come in and they say, okay, you also watch one of the
things.
Amen.
Amen.
And sisters the same.
That's what you do.
So don't forget, sisters are going out to
the Lord.
The brothers are going out to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're not mixing brothers and sisters. Brothers watch brothers. Amen.
Amen.
Sisters watch. Amen. Is that wonderful? Amen. I'll read this and explain a little bit.
Very good.
What washing your feet would mean. Amen. I'm reading from the book of St. John.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 13.
Let
me read from the first verse. and then John 13. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and to the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end.
Nemutambo wepasika usati wasvika, Jesu akaziva kuti nguva yake yasvika kuti abve munyika ino aende kuna Baba. Zvaakanga aida vanhu vake vaiva munyika vakavada kusvikira pakuguma.
And supper being ended, that is after we have the Lord's Supper. This is where we have a continuation of the two ordinances. So when we finish supper here, amen, the devil has been now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him.
Why is Samuel or Judas Iscariot, Simon, to take his?
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God. Amen.
Amen.
He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Amen.
Amen.
After that, he poured water into a
basin
and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was
girded.
Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash me. Jesus answered and said unto him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part
in me.
Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not saying to wash his feet, but he's clean every week, and you're clean, but you
mean,
for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, saying he, you are not
clean.
So after he had washed their feet, and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that he sent greater than he that sent. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus, when the prophet was talking about washing people's feet, one another's feet, amen.
Amen.
He took us into the Old Testament, where the people would walk along some dusty trails. They didn't have roads like we do. And they had lots of big
gowns
that go way down to the ground. And he said, as they would walk down the trail, it wasn't people only that were walking on that trail, but Sheep also walk down the
river.
The cattle also walk down the river. There are horses and donkeys and
horses.
Everything was walking down through the river.
Amen.
So with time, the dust mixes up with the dung. Sometimes dry down, sometimes
waste down.
And it will all go up into their sandals. And also in their
arms.
So whenever visitor comes to the house, he doesn't come with
anything.
But his feet will be dead. And the town will also be dead. Amen.
Amen.
So people would hire a person whose
job
was to wash people's feet when they
arrived.
And that person was called a flunky.
Flunky.
Yeah. That was his job. And they say, that was the lowest law
and do not pass the pass
that there was in that particular time.
Pass the pass pass on pass a sangari
kubayo. So everybody that comes in,
where say pin da imo,
whether rich or poor,
yamba mumi kurumudi,
the flunky will take
that. Aye, geza tsoka yawa tora.
And he'll watch
over geza tsoka zao
before they walk into the house.
Vasa tuwa pin damba.
Amen. So that when they sit in the house, they're okay.
They're fine.
Amen. So, Jesus was telling us, when we watch one another sing, we are showing that my brother, I am lower than
you.
I'm giving you respect. I'm praying for your feet. Amen.
Amen.
So we are taking a lower position than our brother. We are higher than your brother. We are taking a servant's position. Amen.
Amen.
So even after feet washing, you still have got to show that kind of disposition. Amen.
Amen.
Then we wash our brothers.
No talk, yes, and that's okay.
But we do it in prayer. Take that food. Take the water you wash. And your prayer to say, Lord, bless these feet. Amen. Amen. Let them walk with the gospel. Let them carry this man when he is on your business. Is that right? So you see, there's no time for you to be chatting and talking.
Oh, no.
Or say what is called prayer.
No, no, no.
We've got no time. But we're watching one
another.
Amen.
Amen.
Pray for those people. And use that towel to dry. Amen.
Amen.
Then that is
it.
Praise God.
Amen.
So we're going to sing as we get ourselves ready.
At time, but work at the
Amen.
Amen.
So our song leader is going to help us. Amen.
Amen.
Whenever we have communion, there is a time when the song leaders and the musicians get to be busy at all times. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Because we will be singing longer than normal.
Sometimes
the musicians themselves, the song leaders, they also take time.
Song leader, when you watch the
praise God.
Amen.
So you are coming down and you're showing
we are
that I am victorious. I'm living by the will of God.
I'm
an overcomer. This is why I'm coming
down.
Is that right?
This is it.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes people miss communion time. They actually miss church. Because they actually know what they'll be doing. Amen.
Amen.
So make sure you live right.
You
every time. So that you can show that you are living by the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So give us a song as we have our table.
Jesus King.
me near the cross, Lord, there a precious foundation. Oh, free through all the healing stream of flows from Calvary's mouth. Oh, in the cross.
I'm going to read again verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Akati aonga akashimedura akati ichi ndiwo muviri wangu unomedurirwa imi itai izvi kuchindirangarira.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this bread that has been made by man's hands. But Father, it's been brought before you that you bless it, Lord, for this intended purpose tonight. Father, I want to pray that you bless every heart that is coming out for communion, Lord Jesus Christ, so that at the end of the day, Father, you shall receive praises and honor. Give us all these sorry things, Father, so that we be able to be beneficiaries, Father, of this ordinance tonight. We pray for it and commit it in your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, ye, oh, Pamuchi jikwa andi chaku zaje yesi isheda nara wea wangu iowa wana Zoro, Zoro.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Saizvozvo vakati apedza kurayira akatora mukombe akati mukombe uyu ndiyo sungano itsva muropa rangu. Itai izvi nguva dzose kana muchinwa muchindirangarira.
Let us pray. Jesus, I hold this wine before you this evening that you bless it, Father. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to pray. No way it has been made by men's hands, but Father, for this purpose tonight. Father, I want to pray that you bless this wine and cleanse it, Lord, for this purpose tonight. We pray for it and commit all in your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And verse 33, the Bible says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. We want to take this opportunity tonight to be praying one for another silently. Amen. Pray for yourself, pray for your brother, for worthiness to partake of this bread. Paul says we die daily. This is where we need your grace, Lord, every day. And Father, we are faced with this table, which we reverence in our hearts. As Christians, we come, O God, to show the rest of the world that we live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God and lived by the Spirit of God. Help us, O God, that it won't be just an act for today, but every day of our lives, Father, whatever your scripture says, we would like to do. Forgive our sins and trespasses, Lord. Forgive your children, Father, and make us worthy, Father, to be partakers, Father, of this communion tonight. Grant it, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like the deacons and ushers to help usher the brethren. We are trying to have two trays. Yeah. So we have bread this side so that the queue that is coming from this side is shaking from here. The other queue that is coming from this other side, which we'll take from here so that we save our time. So we are going to sing right now. I'm going to ask the ministers to come and help with the breaking of bread and pouring in of the wine, so that we will be able to come down for communion tonight. We are so glad to be having Pastor Jongwe with us tonight. All the way from Gurue.
Amen.
Amen. He told me he was planning to leave somewhere halfway through the service. But if it's okay with him and he would like to help us down here,
that would be fine.
And we'll be singing in one until everything is ready.
Umba mchijikwa andi chaku zaje Yesu nakarada kara weya wangu iwo.